translation by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maitreya said, Diti was thus informed by her husband, but she was pressed by Cupid for sexual satisfaction. She caught hold of the clothing of the great Brahmana sage, just like a shameless public prostitute. If you could repeat this. Maitreya said, Diti was thus informed by her husband, but she was pressed by Cupid for sexual satisfaction. She caught hold of the clothing of the great Brahmana sage, just like a shameless public prostitute. So purport by His Divine Grace. The difference between a married wife and a public prostitute is that one is restrained in sex life by the rules and regulations of the scriptures, whereas the other is unrestricted in sex life and is conducted solely by the strong sex urge. Although very enlightened, Kashyapa, the great sage, became a victim of his prostitute wife. Such is the strong force of material energy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jainanjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Andeham Shri Gurum Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Chaya Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakham Samcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishwabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabho Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Maitreya is speaking. So if you have, most of you have been listening to the classes, and we can recall who is Maitreya speaking to. Anyone? Vidura. Very good. So Maitreya is speaking to Vidura. And why Maitreya is speaking to Vidura? And what are the circumstances leading to Vidura having to meet Maitreya? Just a little introduction of the background. When the battle of Kurukshetra was completed and Lord Krishna was leaving this planet, he instructed his cousin Uddhava. Uddhava was cousin to him by both their fathers were brothers. So Uddhava was the last person who was with Lord Krishna at the time of his departure. So Lord Krishna knew that there were lots of instruction that had to be taken from him to from the gopis and the Vidura. So he instructed Uddhava to go and look for Vidura, who was in the forest. So why Vidura was in the forest was because he was kicked out by his nephew Duryodhana much before the battle. So Lord Krishna knew that Vidura wouldn't be aware of all the calamities that has happened during the war, and he wouldn't know what was happening in Hastinapur. Vidura needed to go back to Hastinapur to support his grieved nephews and to also give direction to Dhritarashtra. So Vidura needed this knowledge to be able to empower himself, to be able to maintain his resilience in managing what he was about to see. So in that course of their conversation, Vidura asks many questions to Maitreya. So who is Maitreya? Maitreya is the disciple of Parasaramuni, and Parasaramuni is also father of Vyasadeva. So Maitreya is very learned because he has so much connection with Vyasadeva, who is also his friend, and he has his guru Parasaramuni. Maitreya was the best person to instruct Vidura how to approach the situation that was going to arise. During that course of events, Maitreya is explaining to Vidura's question on the inquisitiveness of Vidura of why Lord Vishnu himself had to appear in the form of a boar. So here Maitreya is explaining that, the pregnancy of deity and the consequences that took to this pregnancy of the appearance of this great demon. Deity is seen to be affected by lust, and because of the circumstances we discussed about in so many classes, she had also already pleaded to her husband that she was very distressed, she didn't have any sons, and she wanted progeny. Her sisters were all having children, and she was being left out. She felt that she didn't have the honor that she needed, so therefore all these desires were pressing her. But her shameless behavior was quite uncalled for, because treating her husband in the way that she did, like taking him by the clothes, was quite uncalled for, which was shameless indeed. It was also shameless for the family, because all her sisters also would be wondering, why is our sister Diti behaving in such a way to our great Brahma Rishi husband? Kashyapa, as we know, is the son of Maitri, who is also a Manasaputra of Lord Brahma. So Kashyapa, being the grandson of Lord Brahma, had lots of prestige and very well known for his austerities, and he was very respected. So this deity's approach to him was considered very shameless. And now her being considered as a common prostitute has also to be described what actually a prostitute was in those days, what she was compared to. Nowadays, prostitute is someone who is trading sex for money, for material comfort, for opulence, for their to accumulate wealth. But those prostitutes were not like that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Verse 7, addresses the appearance of apsaras. Apsaras were called the prostitutes. The apsara prostitutes appeared from the churning of the ocean. So from that itself, we can see that the prostitutes were not normal beings like us, like this today prostitute. They even appeared from the churning of the ocean. When the ocean was churned, Lakshmi Devi appeared, Kamadhenu appeared, and so many other great celestial beings appeared. One of them was the apsaras, Urvashi. When these apsaras were there, they were used by Indra in the heavens, because when Lord Indra is doing his pastimes, he's always afraid of his position. He's already looking down on earth to see if there is anyone who will contest his post or anyone who will come to oppose his kingdom. Every time there were some rishis or some kings doing great austerities, Lord Indra will be very afraid of losing his kingdom. So he will send apsaras to the material world to disturb the austerities of these rishis. So we have seen in our Bhagavatam few apsaras that have been sent by Lord Indra. They were like Rampa, Urvasi, Menaka, and many others. But we hear lots of stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam about these apsaras, which we are calling here the common prostitute. We have seen like when these apsaras appear in this world, they do their pastimes with whoever they elude and whoever they have been successful in disturbing. And they have to go back to Indra, they have to go back to heaven. It happens that in some of these apsaras have children, but they can't take the children back to heaven because children don't belong. Whatever is produced in this material world cannot go to Indra. Indra is a kingdom. We have seen like Rambha, she was married to Nala Kuvera, the son of Kuber, so they had children, but Rambha had to go back. You see Urvasi also was married to King Pururava. She had six sons, but when the time came, she had to go as well, leaving the king in great distress. Now, one of the most important ones that we'll come across and that will make the history of Mahabharata and will create this great epic and also continue the lunar dynasty is Menaka. Menaka, the prostitute who was sent to disturb the tapasya of Rishi Vishwamitra. When she was successful in her endeavors to disturb Rishi Vishwamitra, there was a baby born, a little girl. So this story is relevant, what is like the background, because this will form our history. And this takes us to this apsara, which we are calling prostitute here. So this baby girl, when she was born, Lord Indra had called Menaka back. So Menaka had to go back. This was the condition. Once your mission is accomplished, you have to come back to the heaven. So when Menaka went back to Indra, he entrusted this baby girl to Rishi Vishwamitra. So when Vishwamitra found out that he's been cheated, his tapasya has been disrupted just because for some sex pleasure. He was very upset and he was very angry and he abandoned the little child. This baby infant girl was taken care of some birds, some like vultures, eagles, who were called the Shakun birds. They protected this little baby until she was found by Rishi Kanva. So Kanva Rishi was known for his celibacy and for his austerity as well, and he was very powerful. He took this little baby girl to his ashram and looked after her. Because this girl was found being under the shelter of the Shakun birds, she would call Shakuntala. So Shakuntala grew up to be a very fine woman. She was well versed in all the shastras, and also she knew all the power of armies and fighting, and because she would have to protect the forest around which they live. So one Shakuntala, when she was in her forest doing her normal chores and riding on her horse, she came across the great King Dushyanta. King Dushyanta had gone for hunting. As soon as King Dushyanta's eyes fell on Shakuntala, he fell greatly in love with her and proposed to marry her. So he approached Kanva Rishi, and then the marriage was agreed, but there was no one around in the forest at that time, so it was a Gandharva wedding. But King Dushyanta had to leave to go back to the kingdom. So King Dushyanta, on leaving, he entrusted his wife, Shakuntala, to the Rishi Kanva. And on leaving, he gave Shakuntala a ring that had a picture on it. And he promised them that he would return soon. Rishikanva and Shakuntala, having waited for a long, long time, didn't find King Dushyanta return. Kanva Rishi sent his rishis and some assistants for Shakuntala to the palace. When they reached the palace, unfortunately, King Dushyanta couldn't recognize Shakuntala. And when she was asked to give the proof who you say you are, so Shakuntala was taking her ring to show that this is the ring you gave me. But when she was looking, she couldn't find her ring, because as she was crossing the river and playing in the water, the ring had fell in the water. So unfortunately, she had to return back to the hermitage of Kanva Muni, that King Dushyanta hasn't accepted her. But eventually, King Dushyanta came across that ring, because that ring was swallowed by a fish, and that fish managed to get in the palace of the King Dushyanta. And when the fish was cut, the ring was found, and the king's face was on the ring. So he was taken to the king, and then she remembered. And then the king remembered, oh yes, this is the ring that I had given to the girl I fell in love with and I married her, so I need to go and look for her. But why he had forgotten about this girl is because Shakuntala was cursed by Durvasa Muni. Once Durvasa Muni had approached the hermitage of Kanva Rishi, and Shakuntala had completely ignored his presence, because she was so absorbed in that ring, because she was so much in love with her king, obviously. Because of ignoring Durvasa Muni, Durvasa cursed her, that whoever you are meditating on, whoever you're thinking about, that person will forget you. That's how the king had forgotten her. Now that king remembered her, the king came to the hermitage of the rishi and took Shakuntala back and made him her queen. So from King Dushyanta and Queen Shakuntala was born the great Bharat Maharaj. And from Bharat Maharaj comes the dynasty of the Kurus and the Pandavas. So this is the relevance of the Apsaras and their lineage. And it is clear that they were not like the common procession like today. But all the deity herself, she was afflicted by lust, and she was compared to this kind of like a prostitute, but these were like great souls who were sent, who was being created by Lord Krishna himself. When we see that, how deities, lusty desire, where it came from and what happened to lusty desires. In chapters 3 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 37, Krishna says what to do with lusty desires. Kamare sakrute sa raja guna samantava mahasayu mahapakma vena kita vayam. Shri Bhagavan Vashti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust in the Arjuna